Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and we are excited to welcome a returning guest in Mike Quinlan, the runner, promoter, producer for the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival, and frankly, the main reason that Quality Time Live is coming live to you on March 28th in Ellicott City. The Quality Time Live show from Unusual Company. Hey, if you're in the Maryland area, you want to check it out, hop on ericcomedy.com and get yourself a ticket. It's only 10 bucks, and it's going to be amazing. We're watching the movie Night of the Lepus, and we got two special guests in 98 Rock Zone, Justin Schlegel and Joe Robinson, famous for Joe Robinson's Quality Time Corrections. So check that out. But without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for The Exorcist.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality time, video games, all the thrills, comedy adventures. Quality time, video games, all the thrills, comedy adventures.
Awesome.
Jeremy falls asleep, we'll have extra content
and I get
happening.
Things thrown at me.
Nice.
I haven't thrown anything at you in a long time, and I resent that you keep bringing it up that I did one horrible thing to you.
And I begged you never to throw anything again because I really felt so, bad.
One time Jeremy fell asleep while I was doing the show, and I got so angry that I had a tape measure and I fucking beamed it at him.
Wow.
Like really hard. Listen, as
tape
it left
measure
my hand.
Can fucking hurt, dude.
I mean, listen, in retrospect, I feel slightly responsible.
You're literally 5 feet from him, yeah. Dude.
I feel a little responsible.
You know what
for
I've always wanted to do, dude? You know, remember the old you remember the old Snapple bottles?
Yeah.
The glass ones? I've always wanted to fill one of those up with nickels and put it in a sock and hit somebody in the face with it.
Yeah, that would... First of all, the nickels alone are enough for the fucking up.
But the Snapple bottle's it, dude. But yeah.
You like the... and then that, you call it hitting them... And then you call the bit hitting them with Snapple facts.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. How'd you break your jaw fucking getting hit with a Snapple bottle?
Yo, Snapple facts. That's how I roll, Holmes.
Yeah.
So is your favorite movie Bad Boys with Sean Penn?
That's a good... That's where I guess that's maybe where that came from, right? Because he put the soda cans in the pillowcase.
Yeah.
That's a good fucking movie, dude.
And that's a good prequel to Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I don't think that was.
Yeah, I
so I hit these guys with a pillowcase full of sodas, dude.
Jeremy, let's hear this out. Go ahead. Pitch us the sequel. How are they connected? How's the universe work?
It's Sean Penn.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll tell
you. What's the Al Pacino movie he's in with where Sean Penn's the crazy drugged up lawyer?
Carlito's Way. Yes.
That movie is so bad. It's
I got
wonderful.
Fucking on my beach in front of everybody.
You know, I mean, the acting job Pacino does in it is so horrible. How did nobody say Al?
What are you going to do here? I like when they get him to play Cuban nationals. That's where he's his strongest,
I feel that's where he's his weakest. All right, are we starting yet?
Yeah. Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric P. Woodworth, joined by my ever-loving brother, my blood, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
Has there ever been a time where you've actually been embarrassed to being related to him?
I don't...
A lot.
I don't know, like a real one.
A real one.
I don't want
a phenomenon. Sorry, I want a specific event.
I mean, the top five.
We also have a guest in Mike Quinlan who's here with us.
Yeah,
but,
what's up?
But, no,
starting
Mike,
good
you'd,
topic.
Have a, you'd have a much easier time picking the times where I've been proud that Jeremy's my brother. It's very few and far between.
Nice. Well, tell me about a proud one.
I'll tell you what, those pictures that he showed you beforehand that we can't talk about, that was the first time.
That was
wow, that is disturbingly wonderful. That is disturbingly wonderful, people who don't know about the pictures I've just seen.
Jeremy's done some pretty rock and roll stuff in his day. I've been proud of him many times.
Good,
but
good.
Also,
I don't believe you, but good.
I've been, if I gave you the range of emotions that I feel most around Jeremy, I'll go number one, love, okay?
That's cool. That's
quickly,
nice.
Quickly, in a close second, rage. Rage is my second one. Yeah. And then third is shame. But very close with pride. Very close with pride. Okay.
I think I shamed my brother the most when his kids came up to me one day and I forgot that grandfather is the different than great grandfather. And I told the kids, like, grandpa's gonna die soon, which is actually not that old.
Yeah,
he's only like maybe 60 versus great grandfather who did die just
very recently.
Ago.
Yeah.
So,
but either way, it wasn't a cool thing to say to my children. But
he's gonna die soon.
And
like,
honestly,
he's not gonna die. He's only like 60.
Excuse me,
Jeremy. That doesn't even scratch the surface of something that angered or made me shameful. I liked that.
I felt a little ashamed that I made that mistake.
Yeah. Whatever.
Telling
I mean,
children
it can't
that
be as bad
die.
As that video you just showed about the Easter bunny.
That's an Easter bunny. That's not him. Mike, welcome to the show. It's been, what was the last episode you were on? It was like in the 80s or something.
Night we did that horrible freaking movie, Boondock Saints.
Yeah, you were on Boondock Saints.
Hated that movie.
Oh, man.
Catholic Irish film.
It doesn't
terrible.
Hold up as well.
It never held up. It didn't hold up when it was made.
And Mike, you're dressed up for tonight's movie in full priest garb. I think
I
this
indeed.
Is
clerical.
You
yes.
look really good like this.
Yeah. I get it.
Hey, listen.
I didn't wear a costume.
Yeah.
Can I call him
go.
Father Quinlan today?
Yeah.
You can call me Father Quinlan. Absolutely. That's it's disturbingly weird.
I went to Loyola College once with my girlfriend and a couple other ladies, and there was a priest at the table. And me, growing up as I did, I called him sir, and I could hear everybody, oh, you didn't call him. I'm like, no, I don't call anybody father. I don't call my father
that is, you know, it's
father.
I was when I was watching The Exorcist last night, I watched it over again just for today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I put any work in with you two animals, but anyway. There were a couple times where somebody did have to address somebody who was much younger as father, and there is a weirdness to it, but I'm sure that there's some psychology horrible psychology that the Catholics put behind it, some demonic stuff to try to
Yeah.
I'm not a pick on Catholic kind of guy. I'm a retired Catholic, but you know, whatever.
Hey,
you're a Catholic that finally learned to read.
Nah, dude, yeah, pretty much, but barely. I mean, thanks for bringing up the dyslexia. Thanks, Jeremy.
I wasn't even trying to think dyslexia.
I appreciate that, dude.
No, there's like an evangelical.
You know
joke.
What's funny about that, though? Here's a weird part about that. So I didn't realize that I had a reading disorder until somebody figured it out a long time, almost into college. And I didn't do very well in grade school, and I was the class
clown.
What? I was dead.
You, Mike?
Gosh.
I didn't mean to shit on you. Listen, I feel like we're good enough friends.
Our
I'm
father,
to shit
our
on
father
you.
Had
on,
dyslexia
man.
And failed kindergarten.
Yeah. No, here's the deal. Here's a funny part. I know, you know, that whole heaven hell bullshit. I'm not sure about the real construct of it all, but my first grade teacher was Sister Eileen Dorothy. I will see that bitch in hell. I will. She beat the living crap out of me, man. And it was obviously all because I couldn't read. So
wow.
Yeah.
Hey, but did you learn how to read?
Eventually, but honestly, no lie, dude, it wasn't. I was very good in college, but when I started, I had poor remedial reading skills. I remember going to college in my first year at Holy Family, my university, where I thought the word enough was spelt ENUFF.
So
no.
And
hey,
I went
whenever,
to Catholic high school and all Catholic grade school.
Whenever you're getting after you became an adult and a young adult, whenever you got into like a physical altercation and somebody like punched you, did you like pick up a book? You're like, but I can read now, blah blah blah, and just to show Mary Catherine up.
No, it was Sister Eileen Dorothy.
Really? I didn't remember.
Gosh. No, I didn't ever.
Okay,
no, the penguin in Blues Brothers is real with the big sticks and
oh,
shit.
Oh, dude, it wasn't only that. They bookended it because we had Sister Thomas in eighth grade, and that bitch, she used to, you know what she would do? She would pull the very back hairs on your neck, like that really sensitive part. And then I think, like, there was, like, she would physically challenge young men that were, like, 13, 14 years old. I'm like, man, you're going to get your ass whooped, lady.
So she was never up on mountaintop singing shit.
No, she was. No, there was definitely no Sound of Music in there. Mm. The Sound of Music probably was death metal in that woman's head.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm on Sister Thomas's side now. The more you're talking about her, that rocks. Gosh. So, Mike, you're on the show today, not because you're just a friend and a friend of the show, person I generally like being around.
Thank you.
But you're also, we have a big show coming up at the end of the month. You put a lot of work into it, the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And you're part of the reason that Quality Time Live is even a thing right now, I have to say.
Why is that?
Well, it's, I mean, honestly, unless you approached me with the date and this wonderful venue that is perfect for us, it probably wouldn't be happening. I wouldn't have found the time and effort to do it. And it's a big part of us doing the live show now.
Cool. Yeah, no, absolutely, dude. I have to be honest with you. The venue is amazing.
Yeah,
you
know, unusual company. Yeah, very awesome looking.
I'm not into, I guess, the genres of interest that you are, but like the horror films and obviously Jeremy with what you're doing with your insane clown stuff.
The posse,
yes. But the building's amazing because it's an old bank that they repurposed or something like that.
Yeah.
You've been there.
It looks like where the Ghostbusters would live.
But with all the actual, they had that leather face mask in there, and they have all those authentic movie props.
So many cool things. They have the Mandy axe there, like a full replica Mandy axe.
Dude, I had that in my hands the other day. It really is cool.
It fucking is badass.
On top of that, though, the fact that you have Joe and Justin coming in for this is amazing.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. It's good to have nice friends that like me.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, I mean,
not excluded.
I know. I appreciate that. But, I mean, there's two podcasts. You're in the other podcast, too. You're in the Laugh Finder podcast.
And then Laugh Finder right after that.
Which is a half hour of that. And about, 17 feet away in another amazing store. What, the Gamers Corpse?
Yeah.
Those guys are pumped to have you there. You know, Dorian's involved
and
in that.
And I'm rolling out from the live show and walking right into that.
Well, dude, also
that,
remember, though, you're also on Friday night. You're on the show at Kelsey's.
Yeah. How many shows in all do you have booked?
There's 17 shows in 4 days.
Oh, man. And where's your stress level at after booking
all this? I can say this to you. If it wasn't for getting to work with people like you and Tommy and Robert Mack, honestly, and Elizabeth Normand and Beth Hayden, like there's stress, but if I wasn't working with really great professionals, you know, it wouldn't be possible. I would be nuts, actually. But working with you, I can trust you. I know you're going to bring a great product. You have the great people working with you.
Oh, stop.
No,
okay,
it's the truth.
Stop
dude.
It.
That's the absolute truth. And there's Ryan Nazer. I'm working with him and Megan.
Oh, the laser?
Yeah, he's
yeah,
Ryan's going to be on the Friday show. Remember, he hosted last year when you closed out.
Oh, yeah,
show.
Yeah. No, he's great, man. He's fucking really good.
Yeah.
Guys, can I share with you a little story before we get into tonight's tale? I've gotten into record collecting as of late. Not fancy high end. I like to
You're
go to the thrift
store now.
I feel a bit hipstery, but really it's just I find things and I'm like I you bought me a record and I didn't have a record player and then mom gave me some
I
old
did?
Records.
Yeah, what did I buy you?
You gave me that Orleans record as a joke with them with all their shirts off because you thought it would be funny.
It's very homoerotic.
I listened to it and not a great album, Orleans. I'll just throw it out there.
Hit song.
They have one good hit song. Couldn't recognize anything else. But now it's just
what
like
what genre is it? I'm not familiar with them.
Orleans. What's their big song, Jeremy? They did them for the Burger King commercials.
I think it was almost a top 10 in the 70s. I can't remember the name.
No, it's a hit song. Why can't I remember it?
But is it what kind of music is it?
Maybe almost soft rock, maybe pop.
Nice.
Almost maybe like the Doobie Brothers, I'm thinking.
Oh, man.
You're still the one that makes me cry. Still the one.
If I would have known better, I'd say it is the Doobie Brothers.
We're still having fun because you're still
really?
The one.
You know what, Jeremy? I agree with you. I would have said that.
I wouldn't know.
So I go to my local Goodwill thrift store here in Carroll County, Maryland. Okay,
no, that must be awesome right there.
And I go to the big bin and it has a bunch of old records. They're all a buck, right?
Yeah,
99% Lawrence Welk.
I found some real gems in there. Okay.
Nice.
Number one, here was this Bill Cosby comedy album, Why Is There Air? Full Bill Cosby.
Air?
Go ahead.
Called
have a
Roofie
look.
Balloon.
Pass that over to
Why
Mike.
Why Is There Air? And,
so you can get a look at that. Just
wow.
So I'm
Did
already
you listen
laughing.
To this?
I haven't listened to that one yet. But the next two, Mike, I've popped in, and boy. So the next one I pick up, Mike.
Yeah.
There's this record. It's $1. If you can look at it here. It's yellow and it has lots of color.
Oh my God!
It's called Minstrel Show and it is the hits of all the best minstrel acts probably of like the 1940s and 50s that were roaming around.
When everybody looked like Flavor Flav.
There's a cartoon picture of I assume a white guy in blackface here.
Is that the governor of Virginia?
Yes, yes.
Good
and
call.
There also it has cast on here. It says. There's such hit artists on this record as Bill in parentheses Blackface Ornsby. It's strong, right?
Well, your nickname
it's
is
strong.
Blackface.
It'd be easy to associate that with Carroll County.
Now this last one, by the way, it has a friend right here. It has a friend. Then I found this right next to it, and I almost spit laughed in the fucking Goodwill store. This one right here. Which is Charlie Everett sings Jolson, and actual.
Wait, so you picked up two blackface records.
Now I have two blackface records
in the same store. Yeah. On the same visit.
Yes, yeah, same visit.
Wow.
And I think the funniest part about this is that it's not actually Al Jolson. This is a cover band. Al Jolson was so popular that this guy was like, I got to cut my own record singing Al Jolson too.
Is there year on that?
I can't find a year on either of these, but I would assume it's got to be. Jeremy, do not throw that. It's in three pieces.
I'm not getting up.
But so I pick up these three records. I'm like, I got to have these. I want these in my collection. I mean, these are good. I want to talk about them on the pod. And
Jesus.
I threw them on, and it is...
$3.
Hey, listen. Yeah, $3 for this. Now, listen. I'll just say it right now. I listen to the records. I think they're a little bit racist, okay? there's a little bit of racism in there, okay? But I'm looking at it, and there's two cashiers at the Goodwill. There's a white guy, and there's a black lady. And I'm like... I gotta get the white. I don't want to have the awkward transaction of me.
You know what?
I don't want to have this happen. Right?
Bullshit on you. And so, I'll tell you why. You wanted this for comic effect.
I did.
Then you should have went to the black lady.
Just hear my story, okay?
So I'm kind of hanging. You're a coward.
So now, listen. I'm hanging near the front of the store, kind of looking at the lines. Now the white guy, he's not a fast ringer upper. He's slow. I would never choose him in any other situation.
Wait a minute. There was enough traffic that you would even be able to know this man's work patterns.
Yeah. No, well, there's two people in each line. I was like, I got to make sure I get in the line so I can get the white guy for this purchase, right? So I get up there. The black lady on this side, she's got two people. He only has one lady, and the lady has nothing in her hands but one item. I'm like, cool, this is my time. So I get in line behind her. This fucking bitch who's in front of me is apparently like a rewards member for the Goodwill, which I didn't know existed. She has a card. She has to go over the numbers. She's haggling for price at the Goodwill for something that's under like $10
Everybody,
right now.
Right?
And I'm losing my mind because I'm watching the other lady. She's ringing up her people like this. Yeah. It finally gets down. They both finish at the same time. I'm like, sweet. And now I'm up, right? The lady walks over and she goes, oh, it's about time for your break. Do you need a time off? And he was like, oh, yeah, you can take him. And I go, fuck. So I got the lady anyway, right?
Good.
So
you
she's
deserved
going,
her.
So now I have this beautiful woman of color who's bringing me up. And I'm trying to tell her. I was like, oh, yeah, there's some real gems in there. I found that, hey, there's a Prince album. I was like talking. I found a Prince and the Revolution album and
you're pandering.
All this,
you
right?
You know what's funny?
So I'm pandering, right?
Unbelievable.
So she goes through. And first, I see her. She makes eye contact with the Bill Cosby one. She's like, And she makes a little bit of a face, but I'm like, okay.
If she was more upset with the Cosby purchase than the other two,
she goes,
this world's been off its axis for months.
She goes to the next one.
Years.
And she sees the Minstrel Show one, and then she's like, okay, that one's like a cartoon one, so she's like, okay. But then she sees the third one that has a legit guy with blackface on it, and I can't even look her in the eye. I'm just kind of looking off like this, but I could feel the stare that I'm getting like this, and like she exhales and goes, fuck, all right, ding, and dings me up, right?
Yeah, I hope she charged it twice.
Now
I
heard
the second one was reparations.
Now I also got this. I also got this other album here, which is important because I didn't realize it ringing it up how how bad this looks. Because this
is
one...
Is this my Shane Gillis moment? Is this where I'm never going to get a real job again?
I don't know if it's a...
Because you're wrong. You're wrong about this. I am right.
What do you mean you're wrong? What did I do?
I don't know what happened.
I just bought a mystery.
I don't know what happened. I'm just protecting myself.
It can't get worse.
I just wanted to
what
buy...
What if I want to get a job at Temple University one day?
I will...
And it's pointed out that Bill Cosby's wearing a Temple University shirt.
So...
What a jerk off Bill Cosby is. The amount of media and stuff that you and Tommy consume, and I guess I got a guy like Pierre Benoit, I just don't have the time to do it. I don't know how you consume so much, distill it, and then utilize it to make your art. It's absolutely amazing.
I just suck it all in. Mostly, I just work out down here, so I put the records on. That's my jam here. So now
you look good, dude. You look
now
good.
Listen, I know the other podcast I do, you guys know, is Laugh Finder.
Yeah.
Now, we have this thing every year where we have to give, it's called Shitty Secret Santa. Okay?
Nice. Of course.
And I'm crossing my fingers I get Brian Preston, because he's going to be the proud owner of both these minstrel show albums, and I cannot wait. I can't wait. This is such a long... I have to wait till December right now to just... Because the goal is under $10 and the shittiest gift we can find. And this... I don't think I have to win it this year, right?
You check
this is
all
good.
Boxes.
This is good. So I want you to know it is eventually a gift for
sure
Brian Preston.
Find, I'm sure you can find a Make America Great hat for him, too.
Although if I get Violet Gray, I'll give it to Violet too. But it has to be one of the people of color.
Violet Gray,
yeah.
Headliner of the finale of the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival. Headliner.
But I know
two years in a row, a Laugh Finder podcast member.
Yeah, she's
is headlining.
She's the man.
So this will be our weekly. So this will.
Dude, that should be her tagline.
So this will be our weekly Eric Finds Racist Albums at the
Dude,
Goodwill
I mean,
store,
so. Honest to God, I was...
How big's Carroll County? It can't be all that hard.
I bet you there has to be more that exists. I'm just going to start collecting.
Anything with Charlie Daniels counts, right?
I guess
somebody's got Toby Keith.
I don't... Is Toby Keith bad now? I'm not a country guy
Keith's,
in general.
He has to be.
I'm a rock and roll
he's
metal guy.
He's one of those
guy,
guys after 9/11 lost his mind.
Oh, man. Poor Toby. Yeah. Poor Toby.
You, amazing, you know, like, to have...
Hey,
amazing
he's
to have,
no David Allen Coe.
Hey, you know, I always... I liked Toby Keith when he was Kunta Kinte Keith, okay? That's a better... That's a Roots reference. Anyway, guys,
horrible.
That just shows how woke I am, is that I know... I threw that. Jeremy's,
look, Lauren
Jeremy
Michaels. Lauren Michaels, I just want you to know that it was not me who said, I am standing, Lauren Michaels, I am standing up for what is right.
The funniest part is that you think you're going to make it to SNL one day.
I'm just very
that's
thankful.
That's the best yeah. joke out of this.
I'm just very thankful that when I met David.
I'm actually just trying to fucking keep my second option of working shift manager at Home Depot available, okay? Sorry, Jeremy, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm very thankful that I met Keith David and asked him if he ever met David Keith, so...
What did they say? What did he
and
say?
And he said yes.
Who
he
the did know Keith David.
That's the guy who does. You ever seen Something About Mary? The dad
yeah.
who's like with Franks and the Beans. That's Keith David. That's that actor.
Now David Keith. He's the white.
Wait a minute. He's the Warren.
No, not Warren.
The,
he's
the father.
He's the father. The black father. Guy.
Oh,
big black
oh,
guy. He's in the movie
God.
The Thing.
Dude,
he's in
his reaction. Now, here's the funny thing about that. His reaction when he sees the Franks and the Beans for the first time. Here's the funny part about that. You know what's funny about that? I've done that before when I was like 5.
No, you did not.
Fran Schistler, my next door neighbor.
That's not even
down.
A real name.
Tune down. No, it was missed. It was Violet Gentz and Mr. Gentz next door, and then Fran Schistler right next to the left. I ran out of the house because my father abandoned our family, and my mom had to work 3 jobs, so I was home a lot alone. Okay? Fran Schistler helped me get my pee-pee out of my zipper when I was about 5.
Fran Schistler.
She's a great lady. Yeah. And it's funny, dude, because I remember seeing that. I remember I was in the movie theater. I was with a girl named Donna Kenyon, who now lives in Belgium and is a millionaire. So anyway, yeah, I remember, and I'm thinking, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right. You know, the Franks and the Beans, whoever did that, it looked good, but not exactly how it looks.
No. Can you
it
give us a description?
Me.
Did it look like stepping on gum?
I know, because I got the head and...
did it look like when you use like a Play-Doh set and you get the little thing that makes the funny track through it
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. But mine was so young.
Right, pull your sack out. I want to see what it looks like. Nah. Let me see how it healed up.
See that scar.
Franz Schisler, yeah.
Classic Schisler. Yeah. Well, are we ready to get it?
Now, to help our viewers and to help Mike out, the Keith David is the black guy.
Yeah.
David Keith is the redneck cracker from the great Santini who tried to kill Tuma and was also Richard Gere's buddy in Officer and a Gentleman.
Here you go. I'll tell you what. Okay. Here we will. There's another.
There you
another
go.
Good reference to my father abandoning the family. One day, my mom worked so hard, no shit, millions of jobs, right? Because this fucking dude wouldn't show up, wouldn't pay any fucking bills, right, dude? My mom never could read or do anything as far as, like, pay attention to the news. She one time took my sister and I to the Great Santini. I was about
wow.
six. I was about six. Here's the deal, Jeremy. She thought it was a movie about a magician. So she said she thought it would be all right to bring her children to that movie.
Now,
that's a true fucking story,
drunk,
dude. That's a what? My father was a drunk? Why the fuck did you bring it up?
Was he abusive drunk?
No, he wasn't abusive. No, he wasn't abusive. He was just a fucking drunk. Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, our dad wasn't
a
drunk, but he was very abusive.
Man, there you
no,
go.
My dad was a sometimes interesting, funny guy who is not big on personal responsibility.
Our father was just like Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket all the time. So
I wouldn't go that far, but he was a very scary guy, and he's super dead now, and.
And dude, we nice. Still hate him.
Here's the deal.
I don't miss him yet.
I know.
Right.
No, really? Here's the deal. I gave a bit of a eulogy, and I said I hold no grudges at the eulogy, which was a complete fucking lie. Yeah. I should have fucking done. You know what? If I had any guts, I would have showed up fucking dressed like this. Anyway, I don't really hold any grudges, but I can tell you this honestly. This movie last night conjured up so much fucking hate that I didn't realize that I had.
Well, yeah, 1973, we're going over The Exorcist.
Yeah, by 1973, I was 2 years old, 13 months after my father had abandoned his young family. Yeah, so, yeah, there you go.
Oh, I didn't know it held
you
such
probably
a special.
Don't think no, I know but I'm not, googly
no
is.
But I'm not fucking holding any, harboring any ill will. But there's an interesting part about this film. When Demi,
why you do this?
Yeah. Oh, I'm fucking
we're gonna
fired
get
up.
It's been an inspiration for many a songs, this movie.
Well, dude, here's the deal. I looked up the music last night, too. Apparently, hold on. I got notes. Lola Schifrin, that's the guy who made this. It was originally rejected from the movie because when they tested the movie, the music was so fucking terrifying that people couldn't watch the movie anymore. So they had to cut it down to this. You got to admit that those few bars, whatever it is, they're terrifying.
The Tubular Bells right here, it's pretty beautiful. This is a scary-ass song.
But if you didn't know the context of it, Eric, this could be that nighttime music that's put you to sleep.
Yeah, I mean,
like fucking John DiLiberto and Echoes. If I ever find that fucking guy, I'll throw him down the M Street steps.
I think it sounds like the opening to Saint Elsewhere. So.
Thanks for ruining
very
that,
good,
Jeremy.
Very good, very good.
Thanks. Is that what he's for? He's
yes.
here to ruin
he's
every...
He's only here to derail the show at all, every
I like to take it back
turn.
30 years.
So, written by William Peter Blatty. Blady? How do you pronounce it? Jeremy made a face that
Blatty.
I pronounced.
Blatty.
Blatty. Blatty. And directed by William Friedkin, The Exorcist. Now, this is a heavy hitter show, so we know this is on many people's Mount Rushmore of greatest horror movies ever made.
But dude, here's the deal though, Eric, is it on there if you weren't raised Catholic, if you weren't a Christian?
Maybe not, but it defined how every scary movie about demons was ever made ever since then. I mean, it all
Here's
harkens
the deal,
back to this.
I can't
think.
Lie to you, dude. The Fridays. Well, although we should talk about why some guy thought it was a good idea to name his son Debo. But anyway, the Friday the 13th and like the slasher films, I found terrifying, right? But I didn't find them as terrifying as this because as a retired Catholic, it scared the living shit out of me from an existential level, too.
Yeah,
my father abandoned our fucking family!
To me, I think a scarier movie is, I think, what's it called, a scarier? Poltergeist, personally.
I've never seen Poltergeist.
Poltergeist fucks me up.
I don't like sci-fi.
Because I think the setting takes place in a place that's very familiar to anybody, which is just a household with a family. And that's the scariest part. Yeah. There's no... And it's just like, oh, the house isn't haunted. No,
that was Spielberg,
just,
right?
It's after you. Yeah.
Spielberg did half of it. I love little Stevie Spielberg.
And what's his, the other director?
Dreyfuss.
Toby Hooper, who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was the other director of it. So.
Oh, really? There was two? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's crazy to go from something so visceral as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to go to something a little less in your face. Although Poltergeist, I guess, was in your face from the clips I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I mean, there's some parts in Poltergeist where you're like, I'm pretty sure that this was Toby Hooper's when he's ripping the fucking flesh off of his skin and stuff. Oh, it's good stuff.
You know
what's
funny? You know, Dad didn't abandon the family in Poltergeist, did he?
Didn't.
No, he stayed
there
with him.
Stuck around. Stayed
aliens taking the fucking kids through the TV. Hey. Sticks around. Hey. Seems like a stand-up fucking guy to me.
If I gotta pick a TV dad, I choose Craig T. Nelson, okay? Craig T. Nelson, the original coach. Yes,
coach?
That's the dad in the movie. So
if I remember correctly, I think I remember having a crush on his daughter, like the college student girl.
Oh, yeah, she's dead.
M-O-O-N.
She died during the end of the movie.
Is it Jeremy the entertainment killer here?
No, it's just a fact, man. I mean,
how'd she die?
Hey, facts don't care about your feelings.
All right.
Quick trivia question, though. As you guys know, The Exorcist, huge film. Now, The Exorcist is the first horror film to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture. Okay,
Makes sense.
Horror film ever to be nominated. Now, there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other films that were horror movies that were nominated, and
one that won.
That is one of them. Yes, Jordan Peele. That is
Silence
one.
Silence of the Lambs.
And that's for Get Out. Silence of the Lambs, also nominated.
What a great
that's
movie.
Two.
Jaws. I watched it the other day.
Jaws, yes, that's correct. Jeremy has three of them. There's two
and
more.
And The Human Centipede.
No. Night of the Leapist.
Night of the Leapist. Nope. There's two more. And Jeremy, you named Silence of the Lambs, which is the only one that actually won.
Legend of Boggy Creek.
There's two more. Or I'm sorry. There's four. There's one more left.
Schindler's List.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
Schindler's List.
No, that is. That's actually a.
No, I'm kidding around.
That's a romantic comedy.
You know what? I'm sorry, Mr. Michaels. Lauren Michaels. I'll tell you what. That was a fucking amazingly.
The last movie to be nominated didn't win the Best Picture. The Sixth Sense.
So, really?
Sixth Sense with. M. Night Shyamalan.
Every movie that he's made since that has been garbage.
My name is Story.
Absolutely garbage.
You didn't like Unbreakable. That's not your jam.
I didn't like the last one where all three of them. However,
what's
his name is.
You didn't like Mark Wahlberg in the fucking... You didn't like Signs. You didn't like...
The Village.
I'd like to watch Mark Wahlberg have his toenails pulled off and then have his feet put into a bucket of acid.
Hey, what's going on?
Isn't Wahlberg Philly?
No.
This feels like...
I'll fucking stab you.
Oh, he's Boston. That's right.
I'll shiv you.
It feels like my feet are in acid.
God, I hate Mark
Wahlberg.
He thinks he's Philly bad, though.
Isn't his wife the... Well, there's a Boston band, though. You can't deny that. Isn't his wife the woman who thinks that viruses come out of peanuts?
Yeah, well, I mean, she speaks power to truth. What do you want?
I love the fact that the only reason anybody's listening to her is because she had fake boobies put in the 80s. Like, are you serious, man?
All right, so let's hop into it. The movie opens up in northern Iraq, which is a weird setting for
us.
It's a weird setting now, though, for us. Yeah,
you know?
Back in the 70s, you're like, oh, Iraq, what a nice, I might go visit there, you know? So you get to meet Father Marin as he's uncovering some ancient
Max
ruins.
Max Van Sydow. Dude.
Yeah, and he finds a strange evil trinket during that. Some hours pass, and Father Marin's not looking great. He's sweaty. Yeah. He's dying out in the desert.
Here's the part of this movie, right? Dude, I didn't realize honestly how fucked up life can get. So Father Maron's, he's going through that silver thing where he has his nitroglycerin pills, right?
Yeah.
I used to live next door to my grandfather. He was such a drunken prick that we had a door cut between the two houses. He was such a drunken prick, we had to brick the fucking door back up, right, dude?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember as a child, my sister and I hiding his nitroglycerin pills on him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Not realizing that we were going to kill him, just that it would piss him off even more.
That's a good
but
bit.
But after he was in that wheelchair having to bring that bell, it was all the better. So
that fucking rocks, man.
Sorry, I made a Better Call Saul.
You just ruined it again.
So Father Maron makes his way slowly out of town when he comes across this giant demon statue, and he sees these fucking two dogs fucking mauling each other and fighting out there. And this demon statue is pretty badass. It looks like it's prehistoric almost and very fucking rudely made.
And now it's very well hung.
And now is probably in some white guy's museum in England.
Yeah. And it's a pretty cool shot. I love the cinematography in this film. It's got some really good...
Oh, I just called him Azazel. That's the guy from Falling.
Falling.
It's actually Zuzu B or Zuzu B?
It's Joey Azuzu.
Penumele
Kiki Bobo.
So now we're taken to good old hometown, Georgetown, Maryland, down the corridor.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Did you notice how many fucking times that they had the Georgetown University logo everywhere? We get it.
Yeah.
We get it, Jesuits.
Well, William Peter Blatty, he's a Georgetown graduate. He really fucking loves Georgetown. We've done, oddly enough, we've done The Exorcist 3 with Christopher Lawrence here. And if you ever look at it, anything that he's ever been involved with, like in Exorcist 3, he has like Patrick Ewing is in it in one scene, and like anybody who's ever affiliated with like the Hoyas or anything, he just sucks Georgetown's dick
so hard.
Yeah, but
Georgetown is one of the best colleges to pay off to get your kid into.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right? There you go.
I mean, that's where all the good stars' kids go.
Absolutely, the Kardashian wing.
Georgetown used to be, but if you have to remember, in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Georgetown was a big fucking deal. They're not really a big deal sports-wise
these days. When the Big East was, they were playing with Villanova, dude. I remember, dude, I was 1983 was one of the coolest times because Villanova beat them, dude.
Well, I just remember like growing up in Maryland. I mean, we wore, like me growing up in like elementary school and middle school.
That Hoyas starter jacket?
It's all Hoyas hat.
That starter jacket was badass.
You didn't wear fucking University of Maryland bullshit until they won the national championship in like, what, 2000 or 1999, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
It was, you know, Juan Dixon shout outs. But the basketball was fucking Georgetown around here.
That was a badass starter jacket. I'll bet you Petey Steele has one of those.
I think I had the starter jacket for that too. I had a couple.
I had a Capitals painter's cap that I got free from the fair.
He always adds so much.
He always
adds so much.
So,
I don't even know what the Capitals are.
So, Mom McNeil starts is an actress.
Who is she, though, Eric? Like, what was she? Was she in other things?
Jeremy would probably know if anybody.
The lady
who plays
the
Mama
actress.
McNeil.
What lady?
The mom in the.
You mean Ellen Burstyn?
Yeah, Ellen Burstyn.
Ellen Burstyn is that? Oh, I'm sorry, Ellen. Is Ellen Burstyn still alive?
I think so, and she was just in Interstellar as the girl that grew up.
I'm sorry, Alan.
No, she's very much alive.
I apologize.
She's got to be like 90 something now.
Yeah, born in 1932, Detroit, Michigan. Still
wow, 32. Shit, my mom was born in 47.
So
my favorite Ellen Burstyn movie is Resurrection, where she has healing powers. So.
So she starts hearing these fucking funky ass noises. She sees girls starts looking up for one. She starts going upstairs and looking for what it is. She sees Regan, her child Regan or Reagan,
There's never a movie where anything weird happens in attics.
Yeah. Don't ever go up in the attic. Only bad things happen.
That's
up
where
there.
The murderers live.
She sees she goes to see it, but her daughter Reagan's window is open.
Point, dude. Why go in the attic if the spirit? Why don't go into the hall bathroom? More people are going to go into the hall bathroom.
That's true. I mean, a demon just wants to live in my attic. I'm letting him live. I'm not going to fuck with him. You can chill.
Yeah, I'm not going up there anyway.
You're taking a piss and you feel that coldness is like, okay, there's going to be a kid that's blown his brains out walking by the bathroom.
Great.
Thanks.
Six sensing it up in this bitch. So she goes to close Reagan's window, and she sneaks past her little girl, gives her a little peck on the cheek. There's a lot. It's a nice, loving moment. She heads back downstairs, and she tells her help, Carl, who is a German man.
Don't understand this part. Don't understand this at all.
Yeah. Well, she has help because she's a big name.
No,
actress.
I understand she's got help. Know? But later, when the director, the British director, there's no reason to bring the Nazis into this at all.
There was.
They're like, you know what? We're going to make one of the scariest movies ever. We need a Nazi. There needs to be a Nazi reference.
One ex-Nats.
Well, maybe two.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe two, because his wife, the housekeeper, who I suppose is his wife.
Yeah, could
be. Cooks.
Could
she
be.
Had a nice griddle, though, dude. You ever have a griddle in your kitchen? Oh, it's just so delicious.
You know,
especially if it's been seasoned.
The Jews hold a grudge just because the Nazis killed like 6 million of them, you know?
Good point.
Yeah, that's a good... I don't understand. Lauren Michaels, I had nothing to do with Jeremy's bad Holocaust reference.
And
good
that was
job.
Like 30 years
Nor
before
Nor does
this
the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival
yes.
or any shows I have property or control over.
Well, actually, I am a Holocaust denier because I don't believe it was actually 6 million. I think it was like 5,999,000
you
Jews
monster.
That were actually killed. So,
all right, thanks, Chair. We appreciate
Jesus
that.
What do you work for, Arthur fucking Anderson?
So,
that's just being an asshole.
Carl agrees to go and set some traps for the rats, but he's like, "Bitch, there ain't no rats
You're
up
not
in
have
there."
Not until he
There's
protests.
Fucking, yeah.
Don't fucking call me out. Don't you call me out.
If it's one thing that Carl knows, he knows how to exterminate things. Yeah. It's one thing I'm very good at.
Yeah.
And they look at him and like, what do you mean exterminate? Oh, never mind. I get rid of the rats. Not a problem.
When I worked at the death camp, I only did the cleanup. I didn't actually kill anyone.
You know, sometimes, you know, some might say that at one time I helped exterminate 6 million rats a long time ago. So I'm very good at this.
Oh, man,
classic Carl.
Dude, I told you, I want to work at the Home Depot. When all hell goes loose, I'm going to need to go to the Home Depot.
Hey, listen, this isn't me. That's Carl. That's Carl saying that.
I don't
want to
be associated with this.
Put the hollow in Holocaust jokes.
So,
yay!
So Mama heads over to her movie shoot, and one of the extras in this scene that they're filming at Georgetown is Father Karras, who's watching from the side as an onlooker.
He's not even a real extra.
As she leaves, this the iconic music kicks in for the first time that we heard for like 5 minutes. So I'm not going to play it again, but Tubular Bells. But it's also worth noting there's really not much of a score to this movie at all. A lot of this movie is just shots and the actors and very little actual fucking music that's ever playing in the background.
I love how Friedkin says he really wished that Tangerine Dream had done the soundtrack for this too.
Yeah, Tangerine Dream would have been a fucking steal for this movie. Are you not familiar with Tangerine Dream? They did the
soundtrack to Sorcerer
and a bunch of other. They're really fucking
you think they could have done
band.
Better than this?
Fuck
yeah. I want to say
yeah.
I don't know if you've never listened to the soundtrack for Sorcerer. It is a fucking 10 out of 10.
How about that Tom Cruise movie where he's a pimp? With Rebecca De Mornay. Gosh, it's eluded me.
Risky Business.
Risky Business. That's how Tangerine Dream did that.
Yeah, nothing stands out. Not like, come on, motherfucker.
You'd know it if you hear it.
Dude, it's not as good as this freaking bells and shit you're talking about.
As she leaves, the iconic music kicks in. They get home, and Mom gets home, and Reagan and Mom are having a hoot. They appear to be a happy, well-adjusted family. She's just a little girl that wants a goddamn pony. And guess what? Mama's got the money to make it happen. We get to see some of Father Karras' day-to-day. He visits his mom up in New York. You kind of find out that he's a former boxer because he's got pictures all over the wall of him doing some boxing. And he tells his sweet mother that he could put her in a nice place if she's willing to leave. And then, here you go.
Take you somewhere where you'd be safe, you wouldn't be alone. There wouldn't be people around. You know, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to a radio.
Is understand me? This is my house, and I'm not going no place.
Why is she speaking Spanish?
You uncultured swine. I love
I wish
you so
somebody
much.
Would build a wall around you. Seriously,
to
I would
keep
pay
you
for that.
Away from I normal would, people.
I would allow Trump to misappropriate the defense budget to build a wall around Jeremy Woodworth.
Don't let him near the children. So,
next we see Reagan playing with a Ouija board down in the basement, like the fucking...
Where's the Ouija board invented?
I don't know.
Baltimore,
please.
Maryland.
For real? Who
yes,
knew?
Yes, sir. Yep. I told you I did my fucking homework.
Built by James Ouija. He was.
It's not ever a real Ouija board unless it's inked in blood.
Yeah, and human
from
flesh.
From Egyptian times.
Yeah, unless it's not a real Ouija board unless you got it from a gypsy, in my opinion.
Unless
if you
it's
bought
done
it from,
in human skin.
If it has a fucking Milton Bradley logo in the
Dude,
corner,
here you go, here
pound
you go.
Sand.
That's a nice product endorsement for the kid who won that fight last night.
Hell yeah. Tyson Fury, yeah. Is that it? He's not a kid. He's an old man. Yeah. He's an older guy.
Hey, honey, where did we get this little thing for talking to demons? It's just sitting here in the basement.
So she says that she's talking with Captain Howdy, but he's not coming out to play right now. Later in the night, Reagan and Mom talk to Mr. Burke, or they talk about Mr. Burke. He's the director of the film, and
that guy played a perfect drunk.
He's low key her boyfriend. It's kind of like that's her side squeeze because I guess dad's out of the picture.
I think he's just this drunk dude who probably abandoned his family.
They say that in the book, they made it a little bit more obvious that he was a toucher of Reagan. So.
Oh. They may. He's a
That's
kid toucher.
In the IMDb trivia.
So, are you serious?
Yeah.
We learn that dad is, later in the movie, we learn that dad is out of the picture. It sounds like he's another actor that's just always away. He sounds a lot like Mike Quinlan's dad, for the most part.
Without any of the fame.
Without any of the fame,
but the same amount of emotional support.
Yes.
Which is funny because, dude, this film last night conjured so much fucking hatred. Like, yeah, my dad stood me up on my birthday. He was supposed to actually take me to see the fights on my 16th birthday. Never showed. You know what's funny about that? I actually remember that day because I was wearing this Ross Irish soccer jersey, and it was so caustic it made my nipples.
Is this good radio as you're rubbing your nipples
through your priest Friar Tuck outfit. Yeah.
With this song.
Wow. Holy. That did just get
this
weird.
This is the best content we've ever made.
Yeah, Joe Robinson. So like that. Joe fucking Robinson.
Would this movie have conjured more bad feelings than that Everclear song, Father of Mine?
Yeah. No. But here's the deal, though. My mom almost died last year. So that conjured up her and him thinking, there's a point where Demi was like, man, whew, I could just put a pillow over her face. You know?
God. You know?
So later in the night, Mom wakes up to find Reagan in her bed, and she's the bed is appears to be shaking a bit.
What are you doing here?
Reagan's in her bed.
I can't get to sleep.
Honey.
Was there ever a porn spoof of this?
Did you ever see Repossessed with Leslie Nielsen?
No, but you could do Exorcist.
So she keeps hearing.
Yeah, Woodworth. Yeah, I want it. I want the rights. I want that, Joe Robinson. Give me the credit, Joe Robinson.
When they did Repossess, she's shaking on the bed and going on about, and Leslie Nielsen comes and turns off the little vibrator that they have in the hotels. So
yeah.
The quarter. So
good call.
That's great.
Good call.
That's great. This is the first time he's ever said something that added to the
fucking
dialogue.
That was good. Yeah, there we go.
Good job,
that's
Jeremy.
That's not the first. He's got tens of those, man. Come on. We're professionals.
One joke per episode.
We're professionals. So she hears those same kind of fucking creepy noises you heard at the end of that audio clip. She decides to open up the attic and go check it out. So Mom lights a candle, and the lights won't seem to work up there. She finds the rat trap that's up there completely untouched, but she can still hear the noise. She goes over to go check on it, and she gets closer.
That candle that part fucking, was weird.
And then she gets closer. She's holding all this by candlelight.
Smells nice.
The fucking
right
candle just blows out of nowhere, but like sparks
Sorry,
up in like a giant
to,
pyre.
Didn't mean to
it's pretty
your
badass.
That wasn't Bic brand.
So, and then Kyle goes, see, look, there's no rats up here. I told you.
At least she found that box of like old 8mm, like pool party and stuff.
If it's one thing I know, it's how to find a rat. Sometimes rats may hide in the attic. Sometimes they might hide under the floorboards
Or the Vatican.
Would you treat a squirrel the same way as you treat a rat? No, you wouldn't.
Dude, that's good. You two can do that. I can do absolutely no voices.
I'm trying my best here.
Nothing as funny as Germans talking about killing rats or Jews.
I love it. No, you just say rats. You let everybody else see. You're not getting the bit.
I don't want to work at the Lowe's. I want to work at the Home Depot. If you stick with this inordinate amount of horrible references, I'm Lowe's bound.
Listen, it's not us. We're just telling you what Carl said in the movie. That's it.
Honestly, though, I don't understand. You know how when you get a film, they'll cut superfluous story. There's no reason for the British guy and Carl.
There's no need for him.
There's no need for that.
No need for him. So, next day, Father Karras finds that the church has been completely desecrated, and they put sweet black tits on the Virgin Mary. And I was honestly kind of a... Listen, some people call that desecration.
Was that the director's cut? Because I didn't see that last night.
I saw it. Like, they like paint her face kind of like the Joker, but they also like draw tits on her. I was like, hey, that's not bad. You know, that's I would have liked Mary
it's
with
like
a little bit more cleavage.
Fox was- I look like Guy Fawkes, actually.
Gets Harvey Keitel triggered.
Yeah, you know. So Father Karras then gets the news that his mother's in the hospital. He goes to visit her. It's actually the fucking loony bin hospital. She's
tied up, and it's
sad, right? He tells him to get her out of there, but when he talks to his uncle, the uncle is a little bit doubtful.
Couldn't you put her someplace else?
Like what? Private hospital? Who got the money for that, Jimmy? You?
All I got is my little friend Annie here who races my pods. I can't do much more than that.
I'm Italian also.
That was a bit disturbing, dude. And pretty much just, if you think about it, probably a, never mind.
We were getting deep.
I mean, I was going to say something profound, like really it was an examination of the world's first society as it treats its crazy people, but don't worry about it.
And the elderly.
I'm sorry, Joe Robinson, I failed you.
Next, don't apologize to him. He's going to give us the corrections whether we want him or not, okay? next, Mama is throwing a party at the house when all her swanky friends come and roll in, and we see the director, Burke, there, as well as some other
people. Fucking astronauts.
We see Father Dyer, who is played by William O'Malley, who's an actual priest, the only actual priest in this movie.
He looked like he was enjoying himself, too.
Yeah, he worked at the Jesuit school, I believe, at Georgetown, and was hired by him just
probably
to be in this
a big
movie.
Inquisition fan.
Although, also, maybe this is just me. I haven't seen this anywhere else. He gives off the I'm the father that actually touches kids.
I didn't get that
me.
At all.
I'm
the priest who likes to get drunk and bang chicks.
Oh, I got priest that likes to bang dudes out of him because he was.
No,
in
dude,
because
here's the deal. If he did, here's remember when he brings when he steals the bottle of booze and he comes over. Here's the deal. He was out trying to bang some. Putang. And I'll tell you why. He lets Demi fall asleep with a cigarette. Everybody knows in the 70s that there was no smoke detectors.
Yeah.
People were burning shit down left and right. You just don't let your freaking friend burn down the seminary.
Okay, fair enough. So we find out from Father Dyer that Father Karras's mom died, actually. Yeah. So she's super dead. The director is drunk and can't stop calling Carl a Nazi.
Canting hand. Bloody damn butchering Nazi pig.
So old man Carl goes and attacks him, and they get drunk ass Burke's ass out of the house.
It was handbags at 10 paces at best, though. Yeah. He could have done something better than that.
So everyone is gathered around the piano as Father Dyer is playing his old fucking tunes when Reagan makes her way down the steps. And then she all of a sudden just lets out a bunch of fucking pee.
Tonight on Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Just pisses in front of the whole fucking lot of them. And
it's
just,
ironic,
it's shocking.
It's ironic you should say that, Jeremy, because we're going to have a Kids Say the Goofiest Things child family comedy and magic show at the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival, 10 o'clock in the morning. On March 28th.
Now, this did inspire me to write a little tune. I hope you guys enjoy.
Oh, I can't wait.
I wrote a little tune based on this scene. First song of the night.
Sometimes I feel so alone, living in this giant Georgetown home. Satan's got his hold. I am crushed and bone, but I must be bold. Oh, I feel so cold. Got the devil inside of me. Oh, mother, I am hungry to my core. Bring me some pea soup that I can throw up. Satan's got his hold. I am crushed and bold, but I must be bold. Oh, I feel so cold. Devil's inside of me. Oh, you brought yourself a little old man priest. You know this guy, he can't beat me, motherfucker. Satan's got his hold, and I feel so old, but I must be bold. Oh, it is so cold. Got the devil inside of me. Why won't he let me be? Now I gotta be in front of my family.
I thought it was about the devil making you pee.
That's
pretty
pee.
Good. I got the devil made me pee. Sometimes the devil just gets up in you. You got fucking.
It's definitely poop smoky.
So
I never steal from other songs. All my songs are original.
This is all original, all original.
I never try to sound like the Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers.
I try to sound like
Doobie
Orleans.
So as we move along. Mama goes and takes Reagan upstairs, gives her a bath, and puts her down for the night.
I'm pretty sure they did this scene just so they could have a little girl naked in a
scene.
Yeah,
you know why they
bath.
Did it? I'll tell you what. Product placement, and this is how crazy I'm getting. There was a Nivea container. I don't even know if they make Nivea anymore. Over her
Definitely.
Left shoulder, there's a Nivea container.
So she asks her mom, what's wrong with me? Mama says, it's like the doctor says. It's all your nerves, Reggie. It's all your nerves, Reggie. Mom heads
it's
back down.
It's just part of growing up and getting your period as you become demon-possessed.
Mom heads back down, but all of a sudden she hears Reagan scream. She heads back upstairs, and the bed is violently shaking. So much that Mom jumps on top of it, and it's fucking shaking the shit out of her, too. Pretty intense scene. Right here. And just notice, still, no score, no fucking music. It's just, this is the fucking horrible shit that's happening right now.
A lot of people compare this to the scene in Evil Dead 2 when everything unanimated becomes animated, like books talking and deer laughing off the side of the thing. So, but the biggest terror of all furniture is usually like a bookcase that comes at you.
Father Dyer that goes to go visit Father Karras, who is obviously very sad that his mother has died. He puts Father Karras's drunk ass in his bed. He's really beat up about his mom dying. Fucking pussy.
Can I tell you my favorite Dyer song?
I guess I should just wait for you to tell the story before I just start. Sorry about that.
Can I tell you my favorite Father Dyer song?
Yeah, you can please tell me.
It's called Dyer Maker.
Dyer Maker?
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that I pulled there?
By Led Zeppelin. No, it's not one of ours.
Got it.
So.
All right. Thanks. He has
worst
a real
joke of the night.
Yeah.
He falls asleep and has a real bizarre dream about his mom that has. We get to see this fucking wacky ass demon face that pops in that we'll see over and over again.
Oh, by the way, that actress is Eileen Dietz. Probably not done almost anything else unless lately she's done a little indies here and there. She goes to the shows. And I helped her out because I made a copy of The
Who?
Exorcist script for her. Her name's Eileen Dietz.
What character?
She's the face when you see flashing on. And she was also a double for Linda Blair doing certain stunt scenes,
you know,
vomiting.
What's funny, Jeremy, it's weird you say that. There's a part of the movie later, which I'll ruin for Eric's narrative, where they look at the mother on the bed that doesn't look at all like the old mother. It's a womanized face.
I think it's Eileen Dietz playing the
part.
Is
that what that is?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't put her in any makeup, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Oh. Yeah, very different. And also, there was obviously a totally different stunt woman doing the spider thing down the stairs.
Dude, here's the deal. Let's talk about this, though. How did they shoot the shots, right? Because at the time, Linda Blair was still relatively young, right?
Yeah.
How did they shoot the shots, though, Eric? To not completely emotionally...
we'll
Stretting on that, too.
I think
we'll
the scenes with
we'll
the cross and
we'll
the JJ
yeah.
was actually
well,
Eileen Dietz
it,
as well.
So, we're gonna get
spoiler!
To that part. I mean, we're just going to talk about it in a little bit. So just let the story play out.
She is the actress that plays Eileen Dietz was so old now. She's a friend on Facebook, and I'll send her little chats every once in a while, and she gets really out of bed, like, this is a private chat thing. It's like, I'm just trying to talk to you. Can I just talk to you? And it's like, she doesn't understand
Facebook.
And then
Facebook. You're like sending her a message like, hey, I found all this stuff in your trash. Are you sure you wanted to throw this out? You're like, leave me alone, you bastard!
Like, I'll be watching Norman Reedus riding his motorcycle across the country, and he's got a little patch that has her picture on it as the exorcist face, and I'll send that to her, and she's like, why are you talking to me? Why are you sending me messages? Like, I'm just trying to be friendly. I'm just trying to send you something, and she's just a little
well,
old.
Listen,
how much acting
did
this woman do?
Not hardly anything. She does little indies now, and she goes to the shows and sells
Jeremy,
in The Exorcist.
When they look you up on Facebook, and they're seeing the giant murder clown picture, I mean, it's a little off-putting. Okay?
No, she
Maybe
knows
you
me
just
personally.
Need to take it
she
back.
Knows me. Anyway. Unless she's forgotten me, so I don't know. It's fine.
Maybe she's got Alzheimer's.
Well, she's, you know.
Good talk. So, Reagan heads to the doctor's office the next day, and it's not going well with the doctors.
You know, it's funny. It's exactly what it sounded when I first found out my dad abandoned the family.
But more feminine, more yeah. masculine
that
screaming.
That was me. That was me at 7 months old.
Oh, gosh.
So she calls him a fucking bastard. I mean, one of the most shocking things is just seeing a little kid curse in this. I mean, this is far before South Park and other things would break us of children cursing. But
it's like this week, I really felt bad about all my bullying of midgets. So.
But the doctors are a little bit puzzled, but Mama talks to the doctor, and this is what they say.
Well... It's
she's batshit crazy.
Symptom.
I love how all the doctors are smoking cigarettes.
Chemical electrical activity of the brain.
There was one
case of your daughter in the temporal lobe. It's up here in the lateral part of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's rare, but it does cause bizarre hallucinations, and usually just before a convulsion.
A convulsion.
The shaking of the bed. That's doubtless due to muscular spasms.
Oh, no.
Is there
no,
efficacy
no,
in this part of it?
Spasm.
I have no idea.
I got on the bed. The whole bed was thumping and rising off the floor and shaking. The whole thing with me on it.
Mrs. McNeil,
the problem with your daughter is not her bed. It's her brain.
You dumb bitch. And
Is that the part where they come out of the room? Like, because the doctor's actually talking to her, and he had just taken a drag of a cigarette. I noticed I stuck.
Yeah.
And the smoke is literally coming out
just
of his
right into her face. Just gives zero fucks. But that's how, I mean.
That's how it was in the 70s, right?
Yeah, dude. You just smoked inside. Who gives a shit?
Whatever. Vietnam.
Fuck your house. Like. So
everybody knows smoking's good for you.
The doctor's initial diagnosis, it's lesions on the temporal lobe. We just got to remove the scar and she's going to be fine. So they prep her for an MRI, which involves a lot of gushing blood just coming out of her neck. I thought it was pretty badass. They like stick a scope up in there, I guess, to inject her with some chemicals so they can see the parts of the brain. Yeah. And it's just fucking...
That was cool. You know what's crazy, dude? The fucking noise.
Yeah, like...
I mean, smoking's good for you. Rush loves smoking cigars all the time.
Yeah, and he's doing fine. Just got diagnosed with cancer. It's pretty fun.
Lung cancer.
But he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yep.
Yeah, just him and Rosa Parks. Man, they deserve it. So they gave it to
Parks?
Yeah.
Give that to anybody.
Dill just throw the...
Jeremy, that's Dill, a good bit. That's
that was
bit.
Fucking good.
That was a good bit.
Dude, that's fucking great, dude. Dude, who's going to steal that? Because you know he's never going to say it on stage. Dude, you know what? They're just... I've thought about that the other day. Jeremy, you got to admit, everybody's the goat now. Everybody's the goat.
That cracker's racist.
So they find nothing in the brain. The doctors are puzzled. They go... they decide to go for a little house visit. It and that doesn't go very well either.
Stop. He's gonna kill me.
In her defense, he should have been wearing a cup. That's funny. When her throat pops out, it looks like one of my buddy's girlfriend's throats.
Fuck me! Fuck me! Fuck me!
Oh, jeez. So,
that's pretty much my reaction to watching the show Becker.
Fuck me. Fuck me. Yeah. Every time I see Ted dance, yeah. I wasn't ready for
Dude,
a Becker.
I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. He rarely brings funny shit to the show, but he's taking over the last 5 minutes.
Oh, he's on a roll, baby.
He's taking over the last 5 minutes. Am I even here, Joe Robinson?
I'm on my third Colt 45. So.
That is the fucking truth.
So she bitch slaps one of the doctors. They pin her down and they knock her out with drugs. Mom asks the doctors, "What the fuck is happening?"
"We still think the temporal lobe."
"Oh, what are you talking about? It's her period. For Christ's sakes, did you see her or not? She's acting like she's fucking out of her mind, psychotic, like a split personality." "Or
calm down, bitch. We'll give you the needle too."
So. They say that they want to run some more horrible tests, and we get to see a litany of other fucking contraptions they put her in. I mean, it's just fucking x-rays are all normals. Doctor says maybe it's time to start looking for a psychiatrist because this bitch is crazy.
Today they just tell her she was on the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, they just give her a train set and send her home. Why That's pretty much it.
They say she's Roy G. Biv.
Why don't we like put like a needle into her neck so you can watch blood shoot out?
I tell you what, that part was pretty, yeah.
So mom gets home after some more negative results, and she gets home to find that the lights are flickering off and on. She enters Reagan's room, and it's freezing cold, window open. She sees Reagan sleeping face down very oddly with her fucking arms out. She yells at her sitter for leaving the window open, and then she goes, "You know, Bert came over and was watching her for a little bit, and was probably getting a little touchy feely from what we found out from the book."
"People are dead, Bert." So wait a minute, though. Here's the deal about that. I didn't know about this. Now you're like, okay, so the demon threw a pedophile out the window.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to bring at me.
That's a hero move, right?
The that's what I'm
maybe
saying.
Isn't that bad? You know, maybe.
Look, he fell out.
But the. So they find out that maybe Burke is a kid toucher. Okay?
He also, his head came around the wrong way by accident.
A psychiatrist then comes to talk to Reagan.
"Are you comfortable, Reagan?"
"Yes."
"How old are you?"
12.
"Is there someone inside you?"
"Sometimes."
And he's fabulous!
"I don't know."
"Is it Captain Howdy?"
"I don't know."
"If I ask him..."
Lauren Michaels, that was not Mike Quinlan.
Gosh.
"No."
"Why not?"
"I'm afraid."
"If he talks to me, I think he'll leave you. Do you want him to leave you?"
"Yes."
"Person inside of Reagan now. If you are there, you two are hypnotized."
That was bullshit right there.
"Answer all my questions. Come forward and answer me now."
"Oh."
the person inside of Reagan? Why, you?
Fucking grabs his dick.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Get him off my dick!
He thought he was playing. He was in the major leagues, dude. You got to wear a cup to that shit, bud.
So let's follow this train of thought. We started with the Ouija board. We've gone to the hypnotizing.
Uh-huh.
Now, if this doesn't work, we can go straight to the human sacrifice and pouring chicken blood on ourselves to see if we can help her out more. So,
one last thing to go over before we have to end this episode. We're almost in the midway part of the film. Next, we see Father Karras the next day. He's running laps, getting his fucking workout on. A gentleman with glasses watches him from the stands. We find out that this is Detective Kinderman from Homicide to talk to him. He thinks the desecration of the church from earlier in the film is linked to Burke's death, who has been pushed out of the fucking window with his head fucking snapped in two, horribly getting murdered.
Yeah, but we don't know that. We don't know that he came out of the window. We're not even sure at the top. We don't know.
He's not sure, but he theorizes that the injuries, it wasn't just the steps, that it came from out the fucking window and onto it. The window was open.
And maybe falling down those steps, how those 40 knives got in his back as well. So,
dude, you know what, Eric? Did they actually film the... do you know, Jeremy, did you know if they filmed the scenes in that actual room in that house? Or is that a set somewhere?
I would guess it's a set. It was a big enough budget film that I would assume it to be that.
Because think about that, though. That'd be nuts to own that house if they actually shot those scenes in that particular room.
Only because we did The Exorcist 3 do I know. That house doesn't exist anymore at the top of those Georgetown steps. And the reason why is in The Exorcist 3, they fucking blew it up. So, actually, for the movie. So, they actually burned that house down during the shooting of The Exorcist.
How much
or either that or The Exorcist 2. It's one of them.
It's got to be 2 because I go to The Exorcist 1 house on the regular. So,
my apologies. Wait a minute. I fucked up.
Jesus Christ, Eric.
By the way, they built on a section to make it seem as if the window wasn't an actual 40 feet away from the steps. So
anyway, guys, that brings us to an end of this episode of the Quality Time Podcast. Mike Quinlan's going to be back next week, so come check him out. You can catch the Second Saturday Shit Show free every second Saturday of the month, live from the Auto Bar, hosted by Mr. Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan occasionally.
She's been back once in a little while.
So check all that
shit out.
Check out the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival.
Yeah, March 25th through the 28th. 17 shows over 4 days. Eric and the Quality Time Podcast will be down at Unusual Space.
Yeah, come check that out. March 28th, buy some tickets. They're still available.
1 p.m.
All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Links to that show. Buy your tickets now. Let's sell this bitch out. Jeremy, take us out.
Mother!
Sometimes I feel so alone, living in this giant Georgetown. Satan's got his own. I am crushed and bone, but I must be bold. Oh, I feel so cold. Got the devil inside of me. I am hungry to my core. Bring me some pea soup that I can throw up. Satan's got his hold. I am crushed and bold, but I must be bold. Oh, I feel so cold. Devil's inside of me. Why won't he let me be? Now I gotta be in front of my family. Oh, you brought yourself a little old man priest. You know this guy
He can't beat me, motherfucker. Satan's got